I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hand. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." Please be seated. Happy Mother's Day, all moms and grandmoms and great-grandmoms. Another Hallmark holy day, as it were. So, are y'all blood washed? Have you washed your robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb? Whew. We could have a revival. We could have a camp meeting and preach on this text. John, the seer, the divine, the theologian, whatever name you choose to call him, had these visions on the Isle of Patmos while he was in exile, where the Spirit led him into the very throne room of God. And he got to see things that we long to see. He got to hear things that we long to hear. He got to see a reality toward which we are all moving. But think about that opening verse. The great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. The whole human race was there in John's vision. Everyone and everything that it means to be a human person was there before the throne of God, robed in white, waving their palm branches and singing praises to God forevermore, for that is now their work. And it is still our work, isn't it, to praise God as long as we have breath, to praise God for all that God has done, is doing, will do, until all things reach their consummation, their completeness, their fullness, their perfection in the one whom God raised from the dead, the one who is Son of Man, fully human, and Son of God, fully one of us. And that's the direction and the destination to which we are all headed, and for which we all long. On my way over here this morning, I got a phone call from my 92-year-old mother in a nursing home in Somerville, South Carolina. And Mom is pretty close to death, and she is ready, and has been for a while, but she's no longer eating much, if anything. She's getting weaker by the day. And we talk every day, and I was there Thursday and Friday this week to be with her in preparation for Mother's Day. And my brother was there yesterday, and my sister was there with me on Friday. And so we are there with her as she prepares to make this transition and be part of that number that John saw in his vision. I hope I'm as ready as she is when I come to that place in my life, fully trusting, in full acceptance, ready to gird my loins for the journey and get on the way. I think that's all we can hope for. And in this Easter season, as we await the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, we have opportunity to reflect on all that God has done, is doing, will do in our lives and in the lives of the entire human family, because we're all bound to Jesus in his humanity, and we're all caught up in his work that will bring us all to that place that John saw, having washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That evangelical streak, if you will, runs deep in me. I love the blood passages. I love the blood hymns of the church. I love to sing about the blood of Jesus. Y'all know that about me. My brother-in-law, who's a South Carolina native from the low country, way out in the country, near a little town called Earhart, South Carolina, said he passed the local Baptist church down there, and on the sign it said, "Even mosquitoes know that there's power in the blood." I like that. But in the gospel, Jesus is still trying to get the message across, engaging in conversation with folks that just can't quite yet make the leap, can't quite yet discern who he is and what he's up to. Jesus tells them, "You've seen all my works. You've heard all my teaching. Why can't you put your trust in me? I want to be your good shepherd." The fourth Sunday of Easter every year is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. We always have Psalm 23. We always have a reading from the 10th chapter of John, which is called the Good Shepherd Discourse of Jesus in John's Gospel. And we learn about Jesus wanting to bring us all to be members of his flock, to be sheep of his fold. He wants to lead us to green pastures where our souls can be revived, where we can have good, clean water to drink, where we can be nourished, not just for our own benefit, but so that we, following him, can continue to do the work that he is doing in this world. We all have been called into this fellowship, called by our names, by the one who is our good shepherd. He knows us intimately and deeply. And he believes in us even on those days and hours and minutes when we cannot quite fully make the leap and trust and believe in him completely. Because he knows us each by name, he calls us each by name, and he believes in each of us as we are in any given moment. He believes in us so deeply that he entrusts this precious and essential and holy work to us, dirty, smelly sheep that we are. He is one of us. And as he says at the conclusion of the gospel passage, "The Father and I are one." In our adult formation class, we've been studying a book called Loving the Questions, which is a romp through the Nicene Creed with all of its theological statements and implications. And that statement, "The Father and I are one," certainly the Jewish community of Jesus' time wrestled with and many rejected. And John, in his gospel, can't seem to let that rejection go. He writes his gospel at the time of the great separation between synagogue and the emerging church, when Jewish people who started saying Jesus is Lord were literally cast out of the synagogue. And so John, in the pain of that separation, calls them the Jews. The Jews rejected him. And in the Passion Gospel of John, he fully indicts the whole Israelite nation as complicit and guilty. I think that grows out of John's frustration and pain at this great separation that literally should never have happened, because God's vision is that all the human race would come ultimately to worship the one who is the Holy One of Israel, the one whom Jesus calls Father, Abba. Because the whole human race is caught up in the mystery of incarnation and the mystery of rebirth in the resurrection of Jesus. The church wrestled with this idea for centuries, the Father and I are one. And they started using a Greek word, homoousios, of the same substance, of the same stuff, of the same ousia as the Father. And in that great statement from the Council of Chalcedon, which you can find on page 864 in your prayer books if you're interested, it says that the Christ is homoousios with the Father, of the same substance, stuff, nature as the Father, and simultaneously homoousios with us, of the same substance, stuff, and nature as humanity. One person with two natures, indivisible, forever joined, so that all that it means to be human can be caught up in this mystery of salvation, whatever that means. You figure it out for yourselves. I can't give you a clear definition of salvation apart from wholeness, health, wellness, and eventually to land in this place that John saw in his vision. But I don't worry about that. That's all taken care of. You shouldn't worry about it either. You're going there. And some of us are going whether we want to or not, but you're going anyway. It's sort of like, I use the metaphor in Sunday school or in Bible study from Star Trek about us being caught in God's tractor beam. If you're on the Enterprise and you lock the tractor beam on something, it's going to be dragged into the Enterprise, and you can rev your engines and spin your wheels and run all you want to, but you're going to be pulled in. I think that's what God does for us. God casts God's net broadly enough to cover the entire human race. And like the 153 fish that Peter and the apostles drew into the boat last week, We're caught in that net. The whole human race is caught in that net. And the net is so strong that no matter how many of us are in there, the net won't break. And we're going to be pulled in. We're going to be pulled in by the one who loves us. The one who knows us. The one who calls each of us by name. And who leads us to that place of green grass and clean water. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs, the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. In most English translations of Psalm 23, verse 3 says, he revives my soul and leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In the New Jerusalem Bible, which is a Roman Catholic translation, the translator renders that differently, because the Hebrew word for righteousness and justice is really the same word. And righteousness and justice are two sides of the same coin. So in the New Jerusalem Bible, it reads, he leads me in paths of saving justice as befits his name. Think about that. He leads me in paths of saving justice as befits his name. And that for me implies that doing justice in this world has salvific, saving possibilities. That the one who does justice is by definition righteous, and the righteous one is the one who does justice, who acts justly in this life, in this world, in all of our relationships with every other human being. God is pulling us all on Good Shepherd Sunday through Christ into his flock, into his fold. Or to use the fishing metaphor for John, we're caught in his net. And the net is so large and so strong that the whole human race is caught up in that and is being brought in, being brought home, being brought to that place where there is no pain or grief or sorrow or aging or disease or war or famine or any other ailment that falls upon humanity. That place where we will all live together, and our only work will be to praise our God who has done this great thing for us that we could never do for ourselves. Thanks be to God for the person and work of Jesus Christ. Homoousios with the Father, homoousios with us, who cast the net broadly enough to bring us all in, even when we don't want to be brought in. I never saw a fish that wanted to be caught, did you? Did you, John? But caught up we are. Caught up we are in this great mystery, in this Easter season that we call salvation, where God's full love for the diversity of the human race is put on full display and sanctified forever. Amen. Amen.